This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I gotta ask you a question. I don't know how to ask this question, but my oldest son does a really good job of writing notes down for himself so he can remember things, which is a really good trait to have. So he wrote down a note that he wanted to Google something because I think he heard something said at school.
Okay.
And he wanted to look it up. So I want to be careful here. So I'll just say it's two numbers. And the two numbers are back to back. And it's a number. Kind of like the year the Mets won the World Series for the first time.
Gotcha.
You with me on this?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's an offensive lineman's number.
Yes. So the note just says Google and then that number. I mean, obviously I could just say the number. It's not like that's a problem. The number randomly, I would say 69.
Gotcha.
And I see this note and my wife sees this note and we say, aren't we better off answering that for him? This is a serious conversation, so don't make any jokes here because I know it's easy to make them. But isn't it better in a situation like that for us as adults to say, all right, let's break it down, as opposed to allowing a child to Google that to find out? Like, to me, it's a no-brainer
right.
That we have to address the situation.
There's so many other things that 69 could use for. It's a number. It's a Camaro. Right? It's a whatever.
Are you saying I'm jumping to the wrong conclusion?
I am not, because I just Googled it, and the first thing that pops up, how to 69.
Okay.
On YouTube.
In your face?
So, on YouTube. So, it's going to a video.
Right. So,
the very first link.
So, this is a no-brainer, then. This needs to be addressed.
Oh, yes.
And it has to be addressed honestly. Like, I can't make up a story.
Ah, the infamous 69. It has its haters, and it has its fans. But this video is for those who want to give it a try.
What the heck is going on?
Who hates it? On my train ride home.
We're giving six amazing tips for 69.
No. See, this is not what I want.
But Art, this is my issue, though, Evan. I don't think you have the wrong mindset here in trying to, like, be honest, get ahead of it. Don't let them find out for themselves. But can you have that talk before the talk? And it's too early for the talk.
I don't think you're wrong. It feels like it's skipping quite a few steps. Yeah. I guess what I learned from the sticky note was... At 8, is this really when conversations like this begin? I don't know. I'm a first-time father of an 8-year-old. Mm. This is all new to me.
It's older brothers and sisters that are screwing up their younger brothers and sisters.
They don't have. I don't have an older brother.
No, he doesn't have an older
somebody
brother.
Somebody at school does.
Oh, I got what you're saying.
And that's where it came from. Because that's where my boys learned it.
So,
because it was on the bus.
So that's what I was going to ask you. How did you handle this? Did they already found out and then ask you questions after they already knew?
But not that specifically. I don't even remember how we had this conversation.
You're supposed to be the wise one to help me. These two schmucks can't help me.
It's different because I remember more with my current kids. I told you guys this story where Brooklyn asked me why if she had mommy's blood or my blood.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that, I don't know why she asked that specific question.
Yes.
But it led to the conversation.
And you just broke it down?
Yeah. Just broke it down. How does it happen? How she got, why her blood is her own. It's a combination, but it's different.
How in detail did you go?
As much as I needed to.
Really?
Yeah.
So
Brooklyn's very mature.
So how would you handle this if you were me?
The problem is you can't, like, he has access to a computer.
Yes.
So you can't make it taboo because it's just going to make him curious.
Right.
So,
but I got to nip it in the bud ahead of time, so maybe he's less curious because I've already laid it out.
I would say there are certain things that you're not old enough to know about yet.
Doesn't that make it taboo, though?
Not really. It's just, trust us. You don't need to. It's not going to serve you to know about it.
I'm going to try. Hold on a second. Let me write this down. Trust us.
Right. It's just like kissing a girl.
Yeah.
You're too young to do that.
Okay.
It's just like driving a car. You're too young to do that.
Interesting.
Right? It's just all these things that they're just not ready for.
Okay.
So that's how I would.
Do you want me to let you know how this goes?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very curious.
All right.
Just out of curiosity.
Why are you speaking?
I promise.
What are you possibly going to add to this?
Because I didn't grow up as a kid, Evan. I'm not going to say anything that's going to make you uncomfortable. What I would say, though, is I know growing up, at least for me, there were parental controls on a computer.
Yeah, can't no, we've just, got that taken care of. Yeah.
So then if he types it in, it's just going to come up and say the Mets won the World Series.
Is that what it's going to be?
Yes, it's not going to have pro tips from somebody.
It's more not about the worry of the Google. It's more the I want to be the one to teach him. And tell him about these things, because you're right. Like, finding out stuff from friends on the bus, that's probably not the best way to learn.
Yeah.
So, but what I don't know as a father, this is my oldest, is when do you do that? Is that really happening when you're 8? I figured it was older than that.
I'll say this. Tiki's giving us advice today. Earlier in the week, I think he gave the advice on what exactly you should say.
Suck, suck, suck.
You guys disgust me.
And you want to suck, suck, suck.
All right.
And when you suck, 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 guess what? People say you suck.
Never shake that reputation.
Let's go to Nick calling from Queens as we talk about something completely different. What's up, Nick?
What's up, Nick?
Well, you know, you guys could always ask Evil Tiki later on.
That's true. That's what Ben Tiki would say. Good point.
But I just wanted to say, I think really Aaron Rodgers on paper is the perfect mentor for these new quarterbacks, because he's done it with Jordan Love, he's experienced it with Brett Favre, and now he has two guys. When you watch them talking smack online when they're working out together, these guys have like a little bit of that arrogance that Rodgers has. Maybe he can really speak to their personality. What do you think, Tiki?
I mean, yeah, you're right in a sense, because I think when Jordan Love got drafted to the Packers, Aaron Rodgers was pissed off.
Yes, at first he was. Yes.
And like, we don't know what happened behind the scenes. I would guess he was just a regular teammate. Wasn't going out of his way and, hey, kid, come over to my house. Let's watch tape together. And see, I don't think he was doing any of that. But I think he was a good teammate because it's just who he is. And so, especially as he got older, and I think over the years, he turned into one of those mentor types, right? I think he knew the writing was on the wall. Eventually, he was going to be somewhere else. And I think Jordan Love and the Packers benefited from it. I mean, look at their success. They didn't miss a beat after he left them. And especially now, I can't worry about Aaron Rodgers not being the right mentor for a young player, because I think you just let Aaron Rodgers be Aaron Rodgers, and that mentor is enough.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I also wonder, you know, as Aaron Rodgers makes this decision, presumably between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the New York Giants, how much he cares about that responsibility. Yes. Because in Pittsburgh right now, they have Kyle Allen and Skylar Thompson on their roster. Mm. He's not grooming them.
No.
I mean, literally, Aaron Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh to quarterback, and
right.
I doubt they're going to draft a young quarterback either. The Giants' circumstance is just so different.
I mean, the Steelers could, because where they sit, I mean, it's right in that area late in the first round.
They could, but do you think they will?
Where you would take a Jackson Dart.
They could, but do you think they will? It's unlikelier, obviously, than the Giants. They could.
I doubt it.
Yeah,
I doubt it.
That's the way I view it. Like, it's possible, and you're right. It probably makes sense to do it, but I just don't know if they will. And that's where it goes back to the angle of, what is Rodgers thinking? Because if this is really an Aaron Rodgers decision and he's weighing Pittsburgh versus the Giants, you would think he'd say, I don't really want to be a tutor. Is that really something I want to do? Or do I want to even worry about the fact that, boy, that kid looks great in practice, we've lost a couple of games, and boom, they're making a quarterback change. You don't have to worry about that in Pittsburgh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Russell in West Islip. How are you, Russell?
Hello there. Love you guys. Golden Tornado.
Yeah, there you go. What's up, man?
So I have a 12-year-old boy, right, and he hears everything. Mm-hmm. But, like, when he was 10, you know, like, you know, we had to have a talk with him because he was making all these comments, and he laughed at that number all
right
the time.
Right.
But so what the way we explained it to him is we just decided it has to do with, like, you know, SES. You know what I mean? Like, right. we didn't go into detail
right
about.
Right. Yeah. Right. And, like, you tell him you're not old enough for that. And you're not old enough for that yet. At what age, though?
Well, like, you know, I mean, it's fine if you think it's funny because he's been laughing at it for 2 years, but we didn't tell him exactly what it meant.
At what age did you even bring up talking about SEX? Like, at what age? Was it 9, 8, 10?
Maybe at 9 or something.
Man, I've entered the sweet spot. Then. Right. This is the moment.
That's when Brooklyn asked. Mm. She's 11 now. This was probably a year and a half ago. And she asked about blood.
Blood.
Mm. Like, what the heck are you talking about?
Mm.
So she just kept pressing me. So I was like, all right, we're going to have this conversation then.
I don't know if there will probably be other things, but I think this is the most daunting challenge I am facing as a father now. How to break this down. And I think I want to do it. I think I am going to do it. I don't know if I want my wife even there. I think it's going to be a father-son conversation. I don't even remember how I learned, to be honest with you. I think my parents talked to me about it, but then I also went to sleepaway camp. And when you go to sleepaway camp, you know, things are talked about. You know what I mean?
I don't know if my mom ever had that conversation with me.
So you just found that on your own?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of figure it out. I mean, you're going to figure it out.
When did you find out, Tommy?
Let's see. When was the first adult movie I watched?
How you found out watching an adult movie?
Yeah, so I didn't have an older brother, much like Jed. I'm an only child, so I didn't have anybody showing me anything, but my friend down the block had older brothers, so we would go over there, we would watch Friday, we would watch Half-Baked, we would watch Porky's, and then we'd slip in a little pornography, and then I was like, oh, okay, I don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out at some point.
By the way, Tommy revealing, I already knew this, but revealing to the audience he's an only child explains a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, yep.
And Evan obviously found out about the birds and the bees as season two of 90210 when Kelly and whoever she was dating.
It certainly contributed, that's for sure. Let's go to Eric on Long Island. How are you, Eric? He's not allowed to say that word, which I took care of, Tommy. Don't worry.
We did a couple there, so as... Inside information, here we are naked, which is fitting for the conversation.
By the way,
no calls for a little bit.
Just to explain, he said a bad word. It had nothing to do with the conversation. It was more, hey, when you're just talking, sometimes a curse comes out. All he was saying is that he teaches about the subject we're talking about in terms of teaching kids about the birds and the bees. So, and I remember...
Hopefully he doesn't drop that kind of language, though, in front of
us. No, I think he felt...
I did learn this in school.
I did, too, but I was about to say, I learned it in high school. Like,
no,
it was late.
No, no.
Elementary school.
It was elementary school.
Yeah, like fifth grade, I
really?
Think.
Really?
Yeah. It was like fifth or sixth grade or something like that. Because I remember taking the sex education classes.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, why do we have to take this class? And then we take it, and they teach you everything.
Yeah, no, I remember... And one thing I'll never forget is they showed a video of a woman giving birth. I'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. And that was in high school, Yes, it was late. Bro, I'm telling you right now, when you guys say fifth grade, my mind is blown because
I was in Southwest Virginia.
But this guy, Tommy's from Long Island. I'm from Long Island.
He's much younger than us.
Who is?
Tommy, or he's much younger than me.
Yeah, he's much younger than you.
No, now that Teak brought it up, I remember in fifth grade, so elementary school, I think they showed us, I'm not even joking, the video of Magic Johnson getting HIV.
Really?
Like trying to talk about, like, you know, transmitted disease, scare people off stuff.
Yeah.
And then
it was definitely around, like, sexually transmitted diseases and other things.
Yeah, and they
it's
didn't.
It's education. So
it wasn't about the fun
stuff.
Into. No doubt. And then Evan's right. In high school, we actually watch videos of women giving birth.
Yes.
Now, I don't know why us as the men had to watch that.
Right.
It was very uncomfortable.
Well, because you're there to support them. Like, you know, you're part of the process, actually.
I'm 15.
I cannot believe this. Your school showed you birth?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like the crowning?
Yeah, like
everything.
The whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
tough to sleep after
God.
That. I was like John Mara. It was hard to sleep.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do remember that. And it was a whole class. Like you mentioned, sex education was out there. But again, this was high school. And by the time you're in high school.
By the way, great show on Netflix.
What?
Sex education.
It is.
Unbelievable.
Never seen it. I'll write that down on my list. But by the time you're in high school, you have a little bit more knowledge than when you're 8, 9, or 10 years old.
And experience.
Yes. Experience.
In high school?
Speak for yourself. I had no damn experience in high school. What the hell are you talking? And by the way, let me just say this. Sean knows I'm right. Tommy's also full of it.
I was going to say, neither did Tommy.
Yeah, he had no experience. He's just not confident enough the way Sean and I to admit it. Like, what are you talking about? Experience in high school. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh. How are you, John? Hello, John.
John, what's up, dude?
John going once. John is gone. We'll go to Colin and Wyckoff. What's up, Colin?
Gentlemen, how we doing today?
Good.
Two things I want to touch base on real quick. Number one, you have morals, values, discipline, and you strive it at home. You're not your kids' friends. Everything falls in place. My son's 30. My daughter's 26. And I tell my son to this day, she's somebody's daughter, your wife.
That's
you
good
go
point.
Ahead and make the wrong move. I'll straighten you out.
Great point.
I'm 63. I'm 63, and I'll bring the heat and gas every day.
Right.
Now, the next point, Aaron Rodgers is the guy you go get. Number one, Dave isn't going to put up with his BS, and he isn't either. He wants to go out on the winning note. He didn't come out. He didn't leave Green Bay on a good note, and he didn't leave the Jets on a good note. I think the end of the season, he was putting some numbers up. He did pretty good. And the Giants, I'm going to tell you now, the Giants have a defense, man. They're going to be back, and they're getting the pieces they got. And I like this kid, Malik Nabers. He put numbers up with Drew Locke. What would he do with Aaron Rodgers for a year?
Right.
Yeah, you know, I warn you one thing about that, because I totally understand that point. Hey, Malik Nabers, you get Aaron Rodgers, Magic's going to win, sir. Garrett Wilson had 4 touchdowns in his first NFL season. 2 from Joe Flacco, 2 from Mike White, 0 from Zach Wilson. In 2023, he had 3 touchdown catches, all 3 from Zach Wilson. And by the way, not a lot of touchdowns, but man, I think he had 1,100 yards in both years, so still very effective. Last year with Aaron Rodgers, he had 7. 6 with Aaron Rodgers, 1 with Tyrod Taylor. He didn't exactly get in the end zone all the time.
No.
So I know logically it seems to make sense. Wow, give Malik Nabers a chance to catch footballs from Aaron Rodgers and magic will ensure or ensue.
Yeah.
Not a guarantee, as we certainly saw the last year with Garrett Wilson.
Right. I mean, you assume that it's also, you got to realize that defenses know where the threat is. And next year, because of Malik Nabers' unbelievable rookie season, defenses are going to know where the threat is, right? They're going to know what the MO. Now, it changes if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback because he's seen it all.
Yeah.
Right? So he can make the adjustments in real time at the line of scrimmage or whatever it may be. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing. But you know what I mean? He's a vet, and he's seen everything. So you're not necessarily worried about it, but it doesn't necessarily mean your top receiver is going to score 15 touchdowns.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. We are 37 minutes away from the league year beginning. Still no decision from Aaron Rodgers. More of your calls throughout the show. Plus, yesterday, Aaron Boone said something. I had no problem with it. I thought it was very straightforward. But some of the Yankee fans in the Yankee fan community, and I may ask, where are the Yankee fans, had a little bit of a problem with what Aaron Boone had to say. We'll play what it was. We'll talk about it. And, of course, talk to you throughout the day, 888-808-1019. With the league year beginning in a half hour, it is now official, according to Adam Schefter. The New York Jets are releasing Aaron Rodgers at 4 o'clock today. And the way the Jets are going to do it, they're going to take a $49 million dead money hit by releasing Rodgers. And because he's going to be designated as a post-June 1 cut, they have a $21 million hit that affects their cap until June 1st. And then on June 1st, it drops to $14 million, saving them $7 million. But then next year, they're going to face a $35 million dead cap hit. And while I acknowledge that I am not a capologist, I've tried, but it's very complicated. I have said from the beginning, and I stand by this, I would have just taken all of my medicine immediately.
Right.
Let the Rodgers era end by taking the most massive cap hit you could, all of it, in 2025. Take your medicine, and then next year, your cap sheet is clean. Muji has decided not to do that. And I just don't understand why.
Right. I guess to leave yourself some flexibility if you need to do some emergency signings. You don't know who you're losing, who else you're losing, I should say, this year. So it just, I don't know. To me, you get rid of it as quickly as possible so next year you're not ladled with a $50 million quarterback room.
And it's going to be because you're already stuck with $35 million to a guy who hadn't been on your team in multiple years and Aaron Rodgers.
And then you got Justin Fields' second year of his deal. And then whoever you draft.
Right.
Or Jordan Travis or whatever it is. It's going to be close to $50 million.
I guess it's just my mentality that when you're moving on from something, move on from it. You don't want to have it kind of affect you the following years. Now, I understand the cap goes up every single year.
Right.
So the cap will go up next year. They are probably going to extend Garrett Wilson, maybe Sauce Gardner too, and they can manipulate those cap numbers. But the idea of Aaron Rodgers in 2026, he may be retired by then, being a $35 million cap hit on the Jet books, it just bothers me. And that's how I felt since the beginning when they made this decision. Now, real quick, before we get to your calls, I'm just going to explain the situation, and then we can talk about it. Aaron Boone yesterday surprised some by saying that Max Fried is not likely going to be the opening day starting pitcher. Now you hear that and you say, whoa, what's going on? You just gave the guy $200 million. Gerrit Cole is hurt. So Aaron Boone said, yeah, it doesn't line up for him. He was also on the Yes broadcast during yesterday's game where Jeff Nelson said, so I assume Max Fried starting opening day, right? Here's Aaron Boone's explanation on yesterday's Yankee broadcast.
Yeah, no, not necessarily. I mean, we kind of have an idea of how it's going to roll out right now, but it's more based on being this deep into spring training and kind of how the guys fall. So I haven't made anything final yet, or we haven't said anything officially. We're still kind of, you know, tinkering. We want to see how Clark comes out of this one, and do we get him on a 5-day and what that looks like. Do we have a built-in sixth on one of the games? So is he going in alive or piggybacking with for his next outing? So all those things we kind of got to work through, and, you know, we'll see how Clark comes in and build it from there.
He also mentioned two specific names as options to pitch on opening day. Carlos Rodon, who oddly hasn't pitched in a spring training game in a while, but I guess he's throwing on the backfields or in minor league games. And also Marcus Stroman. Those are the two options. And this has annoyed Yankee fans, because some Yankee fans have said, you gave $200 million to Max Fried. Yeah. What are we doing here?
But do we still,
it should be him pitching opening day.
Do we still care that much about the opening day starter?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I want to play a game to figure out the answer to that. I'll ask you, Tiki. I'll ask you, Sean. Whoever answers first, just answer it. Who started opening day for the Yankees last year? Go.
Nestor Cortes.
Oh, very good. Mm. Surprised you said that.
Hey.
Because I forgot.
Started.
For some reason, I thought it was Stroman.
Stroman started the home opener. That's how I knew it was Cortes, because there was controversy about it.
Nestor Cortes.
And does anyone care that Nestor Cortes started opening day last year?
No. Like,
does it matter?
No. I care that Soto made an awesome play in right field.
Yes.
He'll be doing that again this year.
Yes. And I'll be doing it for my team, hopefully, this year. But last year, we had this discussion because Marcus Stroman was not lined up for it, and so he didn't pitch opening day, and he ended up whatever.
Right. This is after the Garrett Cole injury, so we knew that Cole wasn't the opening day starter. So
right.
Who was it going to be?
Right. They faced the same questions.
Right.
And it's been a year I couldn't remember. Like, it literally took me some time to be like, who did start opening day? So my response to any Yankee fan who's bothered by this, and I think Big Mac was last night in the overnights, I think even Gio mentioned it this morning, and was like, oh, come on, why isn't Max Fried pitching? It's a symbolic day.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean much at all, and I get why lining him up is more important, so that he feels right
whenever
he gets his first start as a Yankee.
That would be the most important thing.
So I always think the home opener means a little more, because it's the first time the fans are experiencing it. I really don't think it's a big deal anymore the older I've gotten, but I do understand if you are going to opening day, this is part of the reason I booed Stanton at his first opening day when they went for 5 or 5 strikeouts. There's this like lore of, I want to see the shiny new object.
Right.
And if you're not getting Garrett Cole as your ace, I get it. You just paid 8 years to Max Fried. The Yankee fan going opening day says, I want to see Max Fried. But in the end, the moment you walk out of there on opening day, you're going to see, hopefully, 30 starts of Max Fried and forget about it. So I don't think it's a big deal, but I do understand Yankee fans who are going to opening
right.
day
I think,
being upset by it.
I think the bigger question is, as you mentioned earlier, Evan, why has Carlos Rodon not pitched since February 27th?
I don't know, but I mean, he's pitched. He just hasn't pitched in a real spring training game. I don't know, but the reason I wouldn't be concerned is the fact that Boone brought his name up as a legitimate option to start opening day.
Yeah.
So if he's in the mix to start opening day, they obviously think he's on schedule and fine.
Right, but he got rocked.
That's right.
His last time out.
He made 2 spring training starts, I think.
But 4 hits, 3 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 2/3.
Yeah, and that was like in late February, right?
That was the 27th of February.
Yeah, I don't get nuts about it. I mean, I would get more worried.
Well, I'm only nuts because it's been 2 weeks. He hasn't thrown a ball yet.
No, he has thrown a ball. He just hasn't thrown a ball in a regular spring training game.
Yeah, but don't you need to get ready for regular season games by pitching in regular games?
I don't know. I mean, Kodai Senga's last performance was in a minor league game. I didn't panic over it. It was like, whatever. I mean, if that's what they feel.
That is an actual game.
Well, but I think he's pitched in. I assume he's pitched in minor league games. I don't think Carlos Rodon is just sitting there. And by the way, if he was, I don't think Boone would have mentioned him as a legitimate option for opening day. Like, why mention him as an option for opening day? Clark Schmidt's behind. He's not an option for opening day. Mm. They're looking at the 6th day of the season.
I think a lot of Carlos Rodon's problems become mental. And I don't think getting lit up in spring training helped him. And I think the Yankees know they're going to rely on him. I think the Yankees are protecting Rodon from himself until it's a full ramp up ready for the
season.
So
then why would you even consider pitching him on opening day?
Because Max Fried is not lined up. You're paying Carlos Rodon a lot of money.
It's not about money. Mm. If it was about money, Max Fried would alter his schedule to pitch opening day.
We just heard the general manager of the Yankees yesterday flat out tell us, there's no savior coming preseason. We got to play with what we got.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with who's starting opening day.
Oh, but you got 1 of 5 options, and we know one is out and freed. So it's 1 of 4 options. So of course Rodon would be mentioned.
Right, because he's ready. But Clark Schmidt's not mentioned because he's not going to be ready for the first day of the season.
Right.
I'm just calming you down, calming both of you down by saying, I wouldn't be worried about Rodon because Boone on his own mentioned him as an option to pitch opening day. So obviously he's online to be ready for the start of the season despite not pitching in a lot of spring games. That's all I'm saying.
I think what Tegan Schreier, I don't think there's an injury here.
No.
I think the reason that he hasn't pitched, I think there is a reason. And the reason, there's no coincidence, he got rocked. And Rodon has had trouble this. When he has bad starts, he links them together. They need Rodon to get off to a good start. So I think they might literally be protecting him from himself right now.
But then why would you pitch him on opening day if you're looking to protect him? Because that is...
He's just throwing smoke out there. Smoke screens out there.
Gotcha.
I don't think there's really a chance that Carlos Rodon pitches on opening day.
I agree with you. I know who the opening day starter is. They just don't want to say it. The opening day starter for the New York Yankees is going to clearly be Marcus Stroman. And I think that is hilarious. It's hilarious for multiple reasons. Okay? It's hilarious because at the beginning of spring training, it was a big controversy when Marcus Stroman said, I'm only a starting pitcher. But they didn't have enough room for him. To which we're like, what are they going to do? Mm-hmm. And we all looked at each other and said, someone's going to get hurt. Don't you worry about it. And after all that, Marcus Stroman's going to go from not being in the rotation to starting the season opening game at Yankee Stadium. And to Sean's point, the season opening game this year is the home opener. It's the same game. He's going to get to do it for a second straight year.
And he's going to probably get 30 starts this year.
He may. He may.
And he said, I take the mound 30 times. That's likely what's going to happen now with all the injuries.
Well, I'll tell you this, and it's so different to say this today than it was 3 weeks ago. Because 3 weeks ago, when you had everyone in theory healthy, there were many Yankee fans who said, trade him. Trade him to St. Louis for Nolan Arenado. Like, he may not be on this team. But for the Yankees to have success in 2025, they need Marcus Stroman to make 30 starts. He has now become one of those guys that they need to pitch well. They need him to be effective. But what I would say to Yankee fans, and I'd say this to Met fans too, because Mendy hasn't announced an opening day starter either. It is a symbolic day. Like in 2007, and 2007 was very, very special, Yankees opening day. You know why that was special for me?
No.
It's the first time I was lucky enough to do a show at Yankees opening day. So me and Beningo in the middays back in 2007 did a show right before Yankees opening day. Do you know who started that game?
What year is this now?
07.
2007. And there's a reason I'm mentioning it, because the Yankees opening day starter is littered with legends. CC Sabathia did it like 6 years in a row. Masahiro Tanaka did it 4 out of 5 years. Gerrit Cole did it 4 straight years till he got hurt. Randy Johnson did it the years he was here. Roger Clemens did it a bunch of times. But this one was different. Was you want to guess?
Was it Javier Vasquez?
Try again, pal.
Carl Pavano?
Carl, the walking MRI machine. Pavano. And I don't remember how he did. I don't remember what happened in that game, but here's what I do remember. They were in the playoffs that year. Mm. They made the playoffs that year.
It literally doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And the whole idea of, because Sean's like, well, you're going to opening day. You know, you're there. You spent a lot of money. You are not going to opening day to see the starting pitcher. You're going to opening day for the pomp, for the circumstance, for the fact it's opening day, for the fact that you miss baseball, for the fact that it's Yankee baseball, for the fact that, I know you're probably not going to raise an American League pennant because you're too good for it, but in theory, raising the American League pennant. Like, that's what opening day is about. It's not about who the starting pitcher is. But it's completely overrated, and Yankee fans need to take a chill pill like you've had to for a lot of things over the last few days.
I agree with your premise. I think the difference with Fried, again, is that's the Yankees' big addition, and we just got the news the other ace is out. So I understand fans just wanting to see him on opening day. It's a silly argument. It's a, dare I say, dumb argument. But I can't fault Yankee fans for wanting to see the shiny new object.
You'll see him the second day of the year.
Most fans who were in attendance opening day won't. That is the point.
Well, I got good news for you. Go the second day of the year. It's a lot cheaper. It's easier. The lines will be less long. By the way, opening day this year, and this goes for both local teams.
They won 9-5, by the way.
They won 9-5 in that game?
Yeah.
I don't think he pitched that great. He probably like pitched 4 or 5 innings and wasn't that good. But opening day this year for both teams, 3 o'clock, which is very strange. Mm. Mets and Yankees usually have a traditional 1:05 and 1:10 opening day start time. But this year, I think in the Yankees' case, it's for ESPN. In the Mets' case, it was that because it was a Friday. Right. And they just figured, hey, this is a better start time for just people on a Friday afternoon to go 3 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock.
People can take the day off or short day, half day, whatever it may be, it's easier.
Right. So it's a little bit different opening day in 2025.
I got the stat line real quick. Pavano, 4 1/3 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs, 4 earned, got taken out, started the year with an 8.31 ERA.
Got booed off the mound, probably.
And got replaced by a guy I've never heard of, but apparently pitched for the Yankees, Sean Henn.
Oh, Sean Henn, he was like a big, doofy lefty. Yeah. Hmm. I think Marcus Stroman's getting the start if I had to bet right now. He'll be the opening day starter for the New York Yankees. And you know what that means?
That'll make him feel better.
Oh, I think he's going to be pumped.
After this offseason?
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes from rumors for months. The fact that he was, are you happy to go into the bullpen? I'm a starting pitcher.
And then he also deleted like all mention of the Yankees from his social media accounts. And now he's starting opening day.
We can't gloss over what just happened.
What happened?
Evan, without even thinking about it, remembered who Sean Henn was.
Yeah, he was a left-handed, starter converted to the bullpen.
I'm pretty sure he pitched 12 games in his whole career.
I can't even
find
him.
And it's a negative war. How do you remember him?
I just remember him.
I can't find him on Wikipedia.
Why is that a big deal? He's just a baseball player,
I
remember.
You spouted it off without hesitation, Evan.
Was I right? By the way, you got to confirm to the audience. Maybe I made the whole thing up.
No, he's a big, doofy lefty that barely pitched in the major leagues. Barely. And his random appearance for an inning on opening day.
For the Yankees.
That's right.
And he was on the Mets. That was the last team he was on.
Oh, he was.
He actually was on a team called the Eagles, which is kind of funny because his last name is Henn. But you got some memory.
Did Brian Bruni pitch in that game, too?
He did.
Brian Bruni. He was a relief pitcher. Right-hander.
And then we had Farnsworth, Luis Vizcaíno, and Mariano.
There you go. All right. Let's go to Mickey in Connecticut. How are you, Mickey?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing well, man. What's on your mind?
So you guys are going on and on about the opening day starter. I couldn't tell. I'm a diehard Red Sox fan. Couldn't tell you who starts every year for them. But I can guarantee you, 2004, Keith Polk won the World Series. Some pitchers you never forget. Opening day means nothing unless you're going to the park. And then it's a great day, which I've never gotten to do. But, I don't think it's a big deal.
I don't think it is either. I think what I've learned in the past, Mickey, is it's a big deal in the lead up to opening day.
Right.
Because we're all excited, rightfully so. We're pumped up for the start of the baseball season. Even that day, it's a big deal. But I think opening day, a lot of times, kind of lives in the litter box of a team season. You sort of forget about it. Like, let's play a quick game on Mets opening day. I mean, do we remember what happened in that game?
Yes, last year?
Yeah.
I don't.
I wasn't at the fight at second base.
That was because it was the season opener against the Brewers, right? Reese Hoskins and Jeff McNeil?
Yep.
You're right.
Yep.
I barely remember it. And they lost their first five games.
Yeah.
Do you remember Yankees opening day? You mentioned, you know what? Yankee opening day is actually very memorable. I'm going to take that one back because while I forgot about Nestor Cortez, you remember Soto's throw. You remember the game, the way the game ended. You remember Soto's debut, which was outstanding.
Right.
And I think because it's Yankees-Astros, too, like there's an aspect of that.
Yeah, no, we remember it because it was down there. We were watching it on TV as opposed to being here.
But I also think it was more memorable just based on the opponent and the way the game was played. So I think there are some that are memorable. But I don't know if Yankees-Brewers this season, like, if I ask you in July what happened on opening day, how many people are going to remember? But I'll give you a crazy stat about opening day. As of right now, there are 10 starters on opening day. You've got the 9 guys in the field, including the starting pitcher, and you got the DH. How many of those guys that started on opening day for the Yankees last year will also start on opening day for the Yankees this year?
So if we include Stroman?
Well, it's not Marcus Stroman.
Right.
It's Nestor Cortez.
Right.
So right there, 0-for-1.
I think it's just 2. I think it's Volpe and Judge.
That's a great guess. Great guess. It's 3.
Hold on. The third would be...
And this isn't confirmed yet because we need to see the opening day lineup. Guys can get hurt. But Aaron Judge will start like he did last year. Anthony Volpe will start like he did last year. And then there's a third that it's easy to forget, but he would certainly be in line to start, and that would be the only remaining starters from last year's opening day.
I know, but I'll let Tiki go.
I don't know. Is it Wells?
No. Helped carry him in April was Oswaldo Cabrera.
Oswaldo Cabrera. And obviously, it's not even a lock he would make that start.
Who did he start for opening day?
Third base.
How funny is that?
Right, because DJ was hurt.
The same thing as this year.
Right.
Now, I'll take it a step further. So 7 of the opening day starters won't start again. 6 of the 10 opening day starters aren't on the team. 6 of the 10 guys.
Right, and the only one that's not, that's still here, is Stanton.
Right? Giancarlo Stanton, because obviously he's hurt. He started on opening day last year.
So it's Trevino.
The other 6 guys are not even on the roster. Jose Trevino is one.
Alex Verdugo.
Alex Verdugo is two.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto.
Juan Soto's three.
Gleyber Torres.
Gleyber Torres is four.
Oh, I'm missing another outfielder.
You got two more guys.
No, I'm not.
No, you're not missing an outfielder.
You are missing.
You're missing.
You're missing one player, by the way.
Anthony Rizzo.
It's six, so you got to the six. Isn't that crazy? So when you think about opening day, the entire team is basically different. Guys aren't even around anymore. What does that tell you, by the way? Did we learn a lesson from this?
That's more than half the team.
It's 60% of the team.
Right.
60% of the starters from opening day last year are not physically on the roster of the New York Yankees.
70% aren't starting.
Right. And that one guy who's hurt is Giancarlo Stanton. Right. Now, I don't want to be called a jinx here because we still have 2.5 weeks. We need Aaron Judge, Anthony Volpe, and Oswaldo Cabrera to survive until opening day. We can't have any injuries.
Right.
Otherwise, that number is going to increase.
Young kids, I'm not worried about. Judge, I'm not either because he's not playing that much in spring training. So I think that those three will be there.
Isn't that a crazy stat?
30% will be there.
All right. There you go. Isn't that crazy? You learn something new every day, right? Let's go to John in Deer Park. How are you, John?
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's been only just a minute when I was on the phone. I just have to ask.
Yeah.
What is the adamance about not going with a six-man rotation? I mean, I can't help but believe that would give plenty of rest to the rotation and allow for a lot of time in between pitches.
I actually completely agree with you because with guys throwing harder than ever and guys spinning the baseball more than ever, and obviously there being so many injuries, you would think that cutting down on the amount of innings a guy's going to make in a year and cutting down on the amount of starts a guy's going to make in a year, which you do with a six-man rotation, would be more beneficial for more teams. But teams aren't doing it. The Mets are going to do it, but I think the main reason the Mets are doing it is because of Kodai Senga and what he's so used to in Japan. But I agree with his overall sentiment.
I wonder if the player wants it. The starting pitcher likely doesn't want it.
Nah, they want to be out there, man.
All right. They want to, as Marcus Stroman said, I want 30 starts.
Yeah.
Like, I line up every day or every 5 days.
You're not making 30 starts if you pitch every six days.
No, you're not. And it's just so there's a prestige, it's like an ingrained or historical feeling that this is what I'm supposed to do as a starting pitcher in Major League Baseball. And so I would guess the players don't want it.
Yeah, well, you know what? The players have also gone from pitching 8 innings in a game to 5 innings in a game.
Yeah, but think about things.
I don't know why this hasn't changed. Well, if all those other things changed, why hasn't this changed?
Well, just think about how many innings. Right? I think some of these guys have, I'm sure, innings bonuses in their contracts. Like, we don't see all of them, but I would guess some of them do.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're now pitching less games and you're pitching less innings, you have zero chance to hit any of those.
Well, one of the guys who has that milestone is Marcus Stroman. He's got to hit a certain amount of innings to have his option automatically picked up for next season. It is weird, though, because as long as I've been watching baseball now, I'm over 40, they have been five-man rotations.
Mm-hmm.
And baseball's evolved a lot in those years I've watched baseball. Guys used to go deeper into games. They don't anymore. You know, guys used to throw 120 pitches. They don't anymore.
Right.
So for all the things that have evolved, why hasn't that evolved? And it's, to me, it's a great question. I agree with our last caller. I'd evolve. I'd have deeper rotations. Now, if you're the Yankees right now, the Yankees are struggling to figure out who their fifth guy is.
Right.
Is it Will Warren? Is it Cookie Carlos Carrasco? I mean, what are they going to do? And their depth is being tested right now based on all the injuries that they're dealing with. Speaking of the Yankees, one team that I'm very intrigued by now in the American League is the Toronto Blue Jays, except they got a problem. Their best player is going to probably leave at the end of the year. And new details have emerged on what Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was asking for.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.